This is Reverend Stephen Clifford Lee, and he's harassing election workers the Chicago way. So let's talk about how this breaks a church and how to fix it. This is Church is Lame.
Oh my gosh. So maybe he's a reverend, maybe not. We'll talk about that later. Who knows?
Yeah. So Reverend, I'm going to just call him Reverend Lee from now on instead of saying the whole thing, because that sounds pretentious, or like that he shot a president.
But now every time you say that, I've got to go, Reverend Lee. There's a song. Maybe I'll play it at some point in the video.
All right. I'm glad that I'm on this end of it, so I don't have to see that happen.
Diane, sure, man. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be epic. Stay tuned just for that.
Yeah, so, you know, it's nice that we're back after. It's been a few weeks.
It's been a minute, yeah.
Yeah, so it's nice to be back doing this. So I'm sure I will forget how to read like 8 or 9 times throughout the recording. So, and hopefully that ends up being amusing for our listener.
Exactly. Let's see if we can walk and chew gum at the same time today after being off for so long.
Yeah. So to break it down, this comes to us by way of the Roy's report. So thank to them for just this gem. So Reverend Lee here, he is a pastor in Orland Park, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. He may or may not be a pastor. He could be retired. That's a whole thing.
Allegedly.
yeah. But like in the whole Georgia election tampering case, like of the 19 people that were indicted, he managed to be one of them.
Right.
Which is a bit of a trick. And you mean like you can see how like that headline just grabbed my attention. I'm like, huh now?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like it being from Chicago, it is at one time, it's at one on the one hand, heartbreaking, and on the other hand, completely predictable.
It shouldn't be. I mean, it's like he's an LCMS, which is the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Right. If you're not aware of that, that is a very, like, very, very socially conservative Lutheran denomination. There's only one that's even more conservative than them, that, you know, which I don't even know how that works. So it's like you can kind of, you know, guess what his politics were in this situation. I don't want to get caught up in that. I just want to be caught up in the fact that there's a pastor that drove from Orland Park, Illinois to what was it, like Fulton, Georgia?
Yeah. 12 and a half drive. Hours.
Yeah.
A half of a full day, a half turn of the earth to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, like this guy is old and I guess kind of maybe retired or whatever. So like, you know, he stopped halfway and got like a hotel room. You know, so, you know, like it took him 2 days to get down there, like just to harass this poor election worker.
Hey, this was his pilgrimage to Mecca. Don't you make fun.
He's crossing the river
Jordan, Mark. He's crossing the River Jordan.
Yeah. And the election worker, he wasn't just like going after any like particular random election worker. This was like an individual who was accused by, the president at the time of having submitted like boxes of fake ballots.
Right.
So this was just some, a wacky, unsubstantiated conspiracy theory spout out by somebody. And then this pastor took it upon himself to drive 12 and a half hours. And when like he got there, of course, this woman didn't know who this rando dude was, didn't want to open the door for him. And then so when she didn't answer the door, he then went back and got his car and parked in her driveway and then just sat there.
That is just, yeah, that's stalker.
So, you know, she, like any like sensible human being, called the police on this rando that just parked in her driveway. And then he's like, this dude's telling the cops, I'm just here to offer some quote unquote pro bono service. Like there's no pastors in between her house and Chicago.
Right. it didn't occur to her to get any advice about the election beforehand. Oh my gosh. So many ways. This is so crazy. So many ways. Yeah. Okay. So,
I know this is so totally absurd.
But let me just start here. I just said this parenthetically, but I think it's important. And I think it kind of drives right to the heart of the matter. If you're going to do stupid crap, maybe don't start with the line, "I'm a pastor," which is how he started out when all the, like, I guess when the police got involved and things like that. Like, well, I'm a pastor and I'm just trying to offer some counseling kind of thing. And to which she quite rightly replied, "I've already got a pastor."
Yeah, I mean, like, come on, Reverend Lee. It didn't work on To Catch a Predator. It's not going to work here. You know, it's just like giving any kind of an excuse for your behavior is immediately telling the cops that you're up to no good. It's just, it doesn't work.
I find it interesting how the pastoral license, whether it's official or unofficial, you know, you get your pastor certificate from some online stamping house. Like somehow that official piece of paper, it justifies the worst behavior in some pastors, not all pastors.
Yeah.
It does kind of like, how does this become your justification for, you know, kindness, love, being sympathetic, being empathetic, you know? How does that absolve you of the responsibility to still act like a respectable human being?
Yeah, and it doesn't, which is kind of like, you know, my major point in like, how does this break the church? It's like, dude, you're a pastor. Take care of your congregation.
Hello?
Stuff that's happening in Georgia, unless it's like a relative of one of your congregants, has nothing to do with your responsibilities.
Exactly. I think the internet age and the YouTube age and the live streaming age has caused us all to forget that churches are local organisms. They are planted locally. Mm-hmm. They grow locally. They are supposed to bless the local area, right? Because in Georgia, they've mm-hmm. got their own churches that bless that area. There's no need to make this commute from one place to the other. Because in a country as connected and as, the modern, we are modern, we are, what am I thinking? What's the word? We are in an age of information age.
Information age, yeah.
It's, you throw a stone in any direction and you are bound to hit a church. There is no shortage of Christian thinkers in Georgia to help people who have questions about voting, to help them like understand how to vote in a spiritual context, or how to interpret the Bible to have bearing on the way they think about public policy, right? That's already taken care of, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I kind of like my second point that I wanted to point out about that is just like, you're a Christian in Illinois. You are not a member of law enforcement or the justice system in any way, shape, or form in Illinois, much less in freaking Georgia. Like, you know, what is your deal? I mean, like, it just makes the church look so bad when Christians are going out of their way to just do things that aren't their responsibility to try to force the world to behave the way they want it to behave.
Yeah. Can I go one step further? Because I think bad is kind of a generic term. I think it makes the church look cowardly that, like, at least the January 6th people, at least they, for all of their misguidedness, at least they had the guts to possibly take on the Capitol Police and possibly, you know, the National Guard or whatever, right? That was a possibility.
Yeah.
This dude just goes after a single woman who has no protection, who has no expectation that she's about to get harassed in this way. Like, this, without a doubt, in my mind, paints the church writ large as kind of like the cowardly lion. You only step up and roar when you know that you are in the safest position as possible.
Yeah, you know, and it just is like all inspired by an unsubstantiated accusation. And like, we're supposed to be committed to truth, which means just going all like just whole hog into trying to take the law in another state into your own hands is triply insane to me. And like you said, don't begin your defense with "I'm a pastor," because when you are a pastor, like you or me, just going out and doing some jackass thing, you know, is going to make Christians look bad in some degree, just because we're Christians. If we announce that we're doing this for the kingdom, like we're the friggin' Blues Brothers, like I'm on a mission from God,
yes,
you know, like that's like strike two, and strike three is you're a pastor. It's like you cannot make the church look worse than you have.
Yes. Yeah. You
know, or maybe I'm just like blowing it out of proportion.
You're not. If it, like you said, if you're going to break the law and start with "I'm a pastor," there better be the world's largest cop chase in film history involved. You know what I mean? Yeah, this one is just so, like, for a small scale thing, like there are things that are beyond the pale that are large scale. Like when our friend in Texas, you know, locked the doors of his church during a major hurricane to keep people out who needed shelter, you know, that is beyond the pale on a large scale. But then when you bring things down to this pale, this small scale, just a single pastor that nobody knows, you know, it's still beyond the pale. Like if you, mm-hmm. if you have a functioning conscience, which I hope, you know, people who are professional speakers of God's truth, I hope they have a functioning conscience. Like that quote unquote still small voice should be knocking you in the head saying, don't do this. Go home now, you know? And it just, it floors me that at no point in this 12 and a half hour trip with an overnight stay did it occur to this guy that this might not be a great idea.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's a complicated situation. And when we talk about, you know, what is like the role of, you know, our religious practice and how does that in terms of how it interfaces with politics. Okay. There's no easy conclusion to come to. You know, I'm not going to sit there and say like, well, Christians should be just completely, you know, without political motivations. Like everything is political. That's just life. You know, it's the definition of politics. It's people's lives we're dealing with. But what I can decidedly say is that what Yahoo Sirius here just did isn't it.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, like this is not how any Christian should engage a political process. So it's like, we're not harping on Reverend Lee for having a political opinion. That's perfectly fine. But how he went about doing anything with it was, it was shameful. And it makes Christians look like maniacs, and people are already kind of on edge. Especially in certain circles, like they're worried about, you know, Christian nationalism, and they're worried about some of these politicians out there and how they're talking about trying to, you know, undo and roll back certain rights that have been achieved. So it's like, it's just kind of crazy to me.
Let's go ahead and pivot and turn the corner and bring, how many bad euphemisms can I put in here? Let's bring this plane in for a landing, and I want you to save your fix for last, because I think it's the most relevant. But let me just say this in terms of fixing. What you just said is a really important aspect of how to fix this. At some point, and I don't know like when this started, I think it probably started with like Jerry Falwell in The Moral Majority kind of thing. At some point, we stopped trusting our congregations to think for themselves. Like we lost the ability to just preach truth and then trust people to go home and let it stew and then make good decisions based on what they heard at church. Now we basically just spoon feed people as if they're in second grade. Here's how you should live your life based off of my interpretation of the Bible. And so yeah. I think one of the fundamental things we need to do to regain trust on a larger scale than just within the church, but for the world to see us and go, they're not so crazy after all, is we just need to teach what we teach that's based mm-hmm. on what we know from the Bible and trust the world to do with that information what they're going to do with that information. And I think that's my big takeaway for how to fix it. I think yours is better, but that's mine.
Yeah, well, I mean, when like you, with you saying that, you know, just it kind of makes me think of like, you know, videos I've seen of Greg Locke. And he doesn't so much like, you know, spoon feed it as he knocks you upside the head with a shovel of it. And if you just, if you don't agree with him, you just don't agree with God. Like, that's the worst kind of way that this manifests. But like, this to me is like, it's aiming in that direction, and that's troubling. But like, I feel like my fix is just the dumbest thing, because like, it was just stay in your lane. And, you know, I feel like I should maybe explain that a smidge.
It would be dumb if people actually did it, but they don't. So you have to say it.
Yeah. You know, it's because, like, you know, whatever, like, our giftings are as individuals, you know, and you, whether it's, you know, whether you believe, you know, your skill sets are like, you're kind of, you have like a natural skill set, whether you believe that comes from God or something else, I don't care. I'm saying it's a gift that you have in this life. But that prepares you to do certain types of things and not all types of things. And if we have a gifting for teaching, but then we go and we become a construction worker, where we just can't seem to ever use a tape measure correctly. We are wasting talent and we are making somebody else's life harder.
So good. Yep. That's so good.
You know, and in this kind of thing, it makes other people's lives harder. You know, like, even if the accusations that were made were correct, this dude was still getting in the way of anything actually happening. So it's like, the more, like, if we can just stay like where our giftings are, where our callings are. And when you're a pastor of a church, your calling is that church in Orland Park, Illinois, by the way. You know, it's like, we will do the best, most work we can. I think I said that backwards, but you get the point.
I do get the point.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that's about as good as you can do when you're trying to sum up how not to be a terrible church. Stay in your lane. That is as good as it gets. Listen, we are Churches Lame. I know you've heard me say this 1,000 times, but if you watch this episode and you're seeing this for the first time, you may think, wow, Mark and Scott really have it in for the church. And that is the furthest thing from the truth. We love the church. We love what it was designed to do and what it's capable of doing. And we want to see the church grow and flourish. We just think that every now and then things go awry that cause the world at large to kind of go, not so much. That's not it. And so we make this podcast so that when churches ask the question, what are we doing wrong? Here's your repository of answers. All right. So if you have something that you know about the story or you want to say about the story, by all means, check us out on YouTube and leave a comment or a thumbs up or a thumbs down, or leave us one of those super like kind of things, whatever they're called. And if you hear us through a regular podcasting app, by all means, feel free to give us a rating and a review.
And with that, go in peace and serve the Lord. And hey, if you like this video and you want to see more like it, we will have a playlist up in that corner for Leadership Lunacy.